Bobby Schaffrin, David Kilman, and Eddie Galland met each other when they were 19 years old in 1980 and discovered they were triplets, separated at birth and reared in three different families. It was brotherly love at first sight. They had the identical curly hair, wide grins, and ebullient charm, and many of the same tastes and mannerisms.
It's ridiculous.
We're all the same. As soon as we discussing our personalities.
Our personalities are the same.
We always talk at the same time.
I'll start a sentence and he'll finish it.
We all like Chinese food.
You were all wrestlers at one time?
Yes.
Triplets moved in together and became minor key celebrities, clubbing, posing for photos, opening a restaurant, and even doing a movie scene with Madonna. But in time, they also discovered why they had been taken from each other at birth. Their hurt, confusion, and anger is at the center of Three Identical Strangers, a documentary directed by Tim Wardle that won a jury award at Sundance and is in theaters now. Tim Wardle joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
How did the triplets find each other suddenly? And it was just over a period of a few weeks.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary coincidence. One of them, Bobby Schaffrin, went to college in upstate New York. His first day there, turned up, and immediately everyone greeted him like he'd been there for years. Guys are coming up to him, slapping him on the back. Girls are kissing him. He's never been there before. He doesn't know what they're talking about. And eventually someone comes up to him and says, "Were you adopted?" And he says, "Yeah, I was." And this guy says, "I think you have a twin brother." And from there, he finds his brother, Eddie. They appear on the front page of a variety of newspapers in the New York area. And next day they get a call from someone saying, "I'm reading about you guys in the paper and I see a picture and I look just like you. I think you're not twins, we're triplets. I'm the third."
Wow. What did the brothers, the triplets, notice about each other?
Initially, when they met, they had all these things in common. They realized they liked the same music, same food. They all liked older women. They all smoked the same cigarettes. So there were these incredible similarities that couldn't be accounted for by chance or really by environment, because they'd grown up in very, very different families.
All from the same adoption agency, of course, the Louise Wise Agency in New York. Don't adoption agencies usually make it a point to keep siblings together?
They do. So it was very unusual that these brothers had been separated at birth. It later turned out they weren't the only identical siblings that had been split up by this agency, who were, it has to be said, a very high-end adoption agency.
Yeah. Well, that's when we need to ask what was going on, because there was at least one scientist with another agenda, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I should probably put a spoiler alert here for anyone who wants to see the movie, because I think it is good to go in cold. But turns out that they were split up as part of a scientific experiment run by a prominent New York-based psychiatrist looking into nature versus nurture and the relative importance of heredity versus environment.
I'm going to mention the name of the doctor whose experiment this was, Dr. Peter Neubauer, who was director of the Child Development Center in Manhattan. I'm not sure we can fairly expect an answer from you or anyone, but how could a man of science and medicine, someone who was himself the son of Holocaust survivors in Austria, do this to people?
That's the central question of the film, or one of the central questions is, why do good people sometimes do bad or unethical things? I'm not interested in trying to portray him or anyone who ran this experiment as evil or bad. I think it's really interesting, those grey areas of human behaviour. You know, Peter Neubauer was the father of child psychiatry in America. He has done an unbelievable amount of good for children, but at the same time was involved in this one thing that, in retrospect, and I think at the time, was highly unethical. Lawrence Wright, the journalist who appears in the film, has this phrase, "noble cause corruption." It's kind of like the ends justify the means. And I think they were blinded to the human impact of what they were doing.
The brothers really do seem to love each other and cherish the fact that they found each other, and yet it opened the door to a lot of pain ultimately, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, one of the central questions that was always going on in my head was, would they have been better off not knowing about each other? Would they actually be happier today not knowing? Because they had an enormous, you know, enormous years of joy when they first met, but then it all went quite badly wrong. And, you know, today the truth is that their relationship is quite fractured. It was when we were making the film. I think One of the things that has come out of making the film unintentionally is that they have been brought slightly closer together, which has been wonderful, and their families have been brought closer together, which was unexpected. But the events that happened to them and their reunion caused a lot of tragedy as well. Eddie's wife, I think, said to me, it's like the duality of life, you know, the joy, but also the sadness. And this story does encapsulate that.
Mr. Wardle, this couldn't have been an easy story to tell.
It wasn't. It was very tricky. Firstly, earning the trust of the triplets and their families. When you learn the full extent of their story, you understand why they find it quite hard, I think, to trust people. So it took a long time to earn their trust. And then there were various organisations and people involved in this who didn't want this story to be out there. So various people trying to sort of stop the film.
A lot of the story is still locked away, isn't it?
The records from the study are locked in a vault at Yale University. When the main scientist running the study died, he left all the material to Yale on the proviso it wouldn't be released until 2066. So it's still sitting there waiting to be open one day.
The records that you mention, the brothers were monitored. I think that's not a bad way to put it, at various points when they were growing up. They won't be revealed until almost everybody listening to this interview is gone.
It's crazy when you think about it. I mean, we did, as part of making the film, we managed to get with the brothers some of their material. They only got photocopies. It's heavily redacted. Some pages are all black ink. So it's kind of hard to piece together exactly what the study was about or what its findings were. But yes, most people, including myself, I may be in a wheelchair. I will try and get down to Yale in 2066 if I can. But most people involved in the study will be long since gone.
Tim Wardle, his film, Three Identical Strangers. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.